I want to bring you up to date just a little bit. God said, I'm going to come back. The day of vengeance and visitation will begin when it's kind of like it was in Gibeah. And you'll all remember that this priest, a Levitical priest, had spent a night not in a stranger's town, but in a town of his own brothers in Gibeah, and his concubine was killed by perverts that really preferred to have the man, right? And the Levite, then, after he found his bride on the doorstep dead the next morning, he took her on home. He sawed her up in 12 pieces, which is symbolic of the many-membered body, or the 12 tribes, if you prefer. And he sent one portion to each of the tribes to show them, with a message, the degradation that had come upon the people. And asked, what are you going to do about it? Well, it's kind of like I would ask you, if God showed us Gibeah as an example, it might be that what they did about it, in a sense, we could learn a lesson from it. I'm not saying you should do what they did. That won't work. But that wasn't the prime bit of knowledge within it anyway. It's how they went about it, the method. And if you don't have a method that pleases God, whether it's a person or a unit trying to make a go, let's say a church, you better know what you're doing, and it better align with our Father, whether it be your personal life or where. So there's a lesson to be learned within this. It is God's law that the pervert should have died. All right, there's no question about that. It is biblical law. So with that thought in mind, let's try to catch up with these people. And I'm going to show you a few little things as we go through this. Open your Bibles to chapter 20. I'm going to pick it up down with verse 4, where he's explaining after these 12 tribes then gathered in, 11 rather, Benjamin didn't show. And he summarizes what happened. Chapter 20, verse 4. And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night, as though to have slain me, and my concubine have they forced that she is dead. Verse 6, and I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country for the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Here we have this perversion. Liken that with current events, you have a president that is even trying to force perversion upon the military as well as other places. And he's evidently not ashamed of it, because in the inaugural balls, one of the balls was set aside for gays. And he addressed them, not in person, but by television, in the same town. So it's come see, come saw. Verse 7. Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. What are we going to do about this? Well, I would say to you, what are we going to do about this? And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it. In other words, now that we've heard this and gathered in council, we're not even going back home. We're going after them. We're going to do something about it. Verse 10. And we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000 to fetch victuals for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. In other words, we're not even going to take time to go home, and 1 out of every 10 people, you go back and get us some food and supplies, because we're marching. We're not holding back. Verse 11, so all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. That means organization. It wasn't a mob. It was an experienced army, and they were disciplined and were joined one in one with the battle plan. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin. Now, this is what they did first, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brother and the children of Israel. He said, you're not getting those perverts. No, no. Just forget it. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword against the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. And you know what these men were, 16. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed, every one with sling stones at a hairbreadth, and not miss. They were good. Now, the Hebrew is a little different on this, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into it. If you want to check into it, some believe it says they were wounded in their right hands. Okay, well, be that as it may, it has nothing to do with the point. But we have here, I want you to get these numbers. They're kind of important. Remember, this took us to the sixth dispensation, all right? 16 among all this, 17. And the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. 400,000 trained troops. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God. Is that the thing to do? You bet. Went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God. Seek him out. And said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. Now here we've got 400,000 plus against 26,000 should be a pushover. I mean, the 400,000 are trained troops, and God has said, yeah, put old Judah out front there. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Out of Benjamin came out and killed 22,000 of the 400,000. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in the array, in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. What'd they do next? And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening. They're crying now, oh God, we lost 22,000 troops out there today. And asked counsel of the Lord, saying, now listen to the questions carefully. That's where the riddle is at. Shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go ahead. Go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel, again, 18,000 men, all these drew the sword. I mean, they now have lost a lot of troops. They sought God's counsel. What could have gone wrong? Don't Don't ever make the same mistake they did, beloved. It's real easy to speak out against perversion. It's real easy to point the finger. I mean, those perverts broke the law. They deserve to die according to God's law. But before you go to do anything about it, you'd better get your own self straightened out. Well, it's written in God's law they should die. Let's just do it. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. You'll suffer the same thing in these end times that they did, because there's an ingredient, a very special one, missing here. Well, let's just go out and straighten this world out right now. Oh, without talking to the Father and getting His counsel on it, should we go or should we not go as far as teaching His Word? Understand, I'm referring to a spiritual, referring and speaking in a spiritual sense. And I want you to know something. I would never attempt anything without, in this ministry, of going here or there without first counseling with the Father about it. And then I'm going to tell you just give you a little clue. It's real easy to speak bold against other people. And hasn't God said if you break even one of the little laws, you just kind of broke them all? You see? Or it would be about the same as if you broke them all. Here we got a bunch of sinners, 400,000 of them, that's really just ready to move in and clean house. God said, but you don't understand, Pastor Murray. They asked God. I know. He said, go ahead. Have at it, boys. You see, God loves His people. But there's one little thing that you never want to miss out on, and that's communication. Communicating with your Father. Number one, that you love Him. Number two, that you love Him enough that it's even considered a sacrificial love if you want to, because that's what we sacrifice now, as well as our tithe. But primarily, He wants your love. And or then following that with repentance, because if you have not repented and you have your have sin in your camp without having repented in concerning your spiritual work, is God going with you? God won't go into a dirty camp. God will not go with a military that hasn't cleansed itself. Have we not read in Deuteronomy, He said, you even put your outhouse back on the outside of this place, or I'm not coming in that camp. And He wants everything. Well, how do we clean up? By repentance. God will say, yeah, that's the law. Just go ahead. What did they miss out on? Communication. And don't ever forget it. Let's put this right down. Let's just put this. Maybe we can get this right down where we live at here, so with an analogy whereby we can better understand it. You've got to let God know what you're thinking and what you're going to do. Sure, He can read your thoughts, but you've got to talk to Him personally and let Him know your plans and let Him know how and what you intend to do about whatever it is you're approaching. It would be kind of like a husband gets off work at 4 p.m., let's say, and he comes in tired at 3 a.m. He's been out all night, practically, but he doesn't communicate with the little lady. You know? So, probably he's in trouble, right? If he got off at 4 in the afternoon and doesn't get home till 3 in the morning, he didn't communicate, what is she going to think? You see? Now, a man has got to communicate. You tell her about flats. You tell her how some joker put lipstick all over your lug wrench, you know, and stuff like this, you know? You got to communicate, all right? Naturally, I'm kidding, all right, but you have to communicate with the Father also. You can't get along with your wife if you don't communicate with her. You know, we people basically, if they understand, are easy to get along with, you know. But they need, they're, all people are just a little bit suspicious, so you need to explain yourself, all right? And so be it. So, but these jokers, two times now, they've gone out and got stomped. I mean, bad. And some would say, well, God counseled them and said it was all right. He didn't say it was all right. They didn't ask him. They told him. Right? They told him they were going, you see. Now let's go on and see what they did to correct it. Oh, let's see, in 24, and the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. Yeah, and they lost the 18,000, 26. Verse 26, that is. Then all the children of Israel and all the people, not just the troops in the field, all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before God and fasted that day until evening and offered, here you go, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. They repented of their own sins before they started punching out somebody else. All right? And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. It was there. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? In other words, first, they got themselves right. And they did it for the right reasons. That's important. Important, beloved, you're never going to be successful using the power and authority that God has given you in this end generation if you don't get it right. Or shall I cease? They kind of gave God a choice in this, you see. In other words, they're asking their father, may I, after repentance, instead of telling, hey, we're going to go up there against him, which one of us, or against him, which one of us do you want to go first? He let him learn a lesson the hard way. And you know something? He'll let you learn lessons the hard way also. Think about it. Think about it. And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And so it was. The fight was on. There was nothing to it. Israel had the victory because they had the blessings of God. Now, I'm going to warn you about something. In these end times, you have more false information from the, as much false information from the so-called right as you do, not as much, but a lot, as you do from the so-far left. And you'd better sharpen up and know that God is in control. We're not. All we are servants, and servants obey their masters or whoever they're working for. If you want to be a servant very long, you do. That's common sense. And most of all, instead of, you know, like you, well, let's take the folks down at, perhaps I shouldn't do this, I'm going to anyway, take the folks down at Waco. Talk about idiocy at its height. Stocking guns, 50 caliber machine guns. Do you know, friends, do you love your brothers and sisters in this nation? Do you know that if the troops were called in to attack that compound, the National Guard, do you know who they would be firing against? Their own cousins, their own brothers. Do you think God would honor that? Well, they were federal marshals. Well, they're still they're for this nation. And this nation guarantees us the right to function within it if we're wiser than the serpent, okay? So you're going to have a lot of people that will be telling you, you should go this way or you should go that way. If Pastor Murray has ever told, if he has told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, there's only one way. And this is it. Don't you get one of these little barnstormers that have to read their own stuff into the Word and say, we're going to do it this way, pick up the flag and charge. You'll get slaughtered. That's what will happen in Waco if anything happens there at all. And what does it prove? It hurts Christianity. Now listen to me. We're in the end generation. God wants to help us. We must speak out against perversion. We must. But you better keep repenting and tell the Father how much you love Him when you want to do something, or He's not going with you, my friends. He is not going with you. Will He counsel with me? Oh, He'll talk to you and say, yeah, just go ahead. There are certain things that He expects you to know. And what did I say was the strongest force in the world? It's love. If you don't love Him, and if you don't communicate with Him, and if you don't love Him enough to trust Him enough to want to do it His way, if I were you, I'd get out of the business. And I would get out fast, because you're going to fall. He's going to let Satan kick your... You're going to take a kicking, all right? And there's no other way about it. Just like they got theirs kicked. I mean, hard. When it's so simple just to say, Father, who are we? We'll do our best, but we want you to know that we know we're sinners. And we're not just saying it's the whole fault of the world is with perverts. Well, it's not. It just isn't. Though it's a despicable, it's whatever. It's not all the trouble in this world. And sometimes we can create trouble ourselves by getting your four wheel kicked in when you only need two wheel and listening to nuts. And there's a lot of nuts. There's enough nuts to go around. And they'll get you. They'll call first. They probably are people that they want. Well, I'm going to be so bold, I'll shock the hell out of them. That's what I'll do. I mean, that's kind of the way, that's the character you're talking about. And they're, if they can't have something that is really, what do you call it, sensationalism? Oh, they really eat up that sensationalism. And they make up stories that your common sense lets you know just absolutely couldn't be. And it'll usually be like something like somebody had told this young man the other day, there's a great army being built up in Colorado. Okay, well, you know, animal. Maybe a great army of tumblebugs, all right? And I don't know, maybe y'all don't even know what a tumblebug is, but anyway, be that as it may. Friends, don't be drawn off course. It's going to happen as it's written. And your main objective in this hour is to prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, and in love to be a witness. That's the kind of war we're fighting, and that's what you have the gospel armor on for. Paul made it very clear where that little feller that sit on this stool knows that he can quote a lot of Bible to you. And a lot of our young people can, they're pretty good students, all right? Now, he said, we're not fighting against the power of the arm. All right? That's not what you put on gospel armor for. If you're going to be in God's army, you better wake up to that.
Well, I'd still like to have a submachine gun or a tank or two.
What for? To fight against your own people? What, and what would... If you had one, let's say Sherman tank, and they're not for sale, what would you do with it? You'd be as helpless as could be if you think you're going... And what would you want to change our government for when you could be wiser than it is and operate just perfectly? You could function and just have the victory over Satan and kick him in the teeth every day. But some people, I guess, like to be stupid. My friend, I'm speaking to you, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. You're going to have a lot of people come along with I'll call it hate material. You can't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same spring. You right here in Arkansas, the spring is all one water. It's either sweet or it's bitter. And if you do it God's way, you'll be smart enough that you will avoid any conflict. And do you know what a cult is? You've heard me say this, but it's time we had a little catch-up here. A cult is any place you go to that teaches you to totally hinge on their every word. They even want to do your thinking for you rather than teaching you how to study God's Word for yourself and to think for yourself. That is one reason that the American Marines are so successful in battle. Each person, if one gets killed, the sergeant or whatever, every one of them are trained as leaders independently or in a group. And there I go back to the military again. Well, we can't help it. We use it as an analogy. But there is a church that each member can't think for themselves and know how to research God's Word from them for themselves is going to fall. You're looking at a cult. I don't care what some of the major denominations, and I'm not calling names and I love them and all that, but my word, talk about spoon-fed and all pablum, all right? Just those people can't. You go in and try to, if you were to ask them a Bible question, they don't know, come sick them. Right? They really don't. It's embarrassing. Think for yourself. Don't fall into any cults. A lot of people would say, well, Arnold Murray's got a cult. Well, I beg to differ. I hope that the people that I study with are far more intelligent than that. That it's a group of people that think for themselves. And I'm going to tell you something. Basically, it always stands to reason if you have a bunch of independent God's elect, they can't keep from fighting among themselves. And sometimes that's true. If they're not fed. If they're not fed. If they can't, if they are roped in where they can't grow. And I thank God for this group where each one of you has input. Where each one of you is trained to think for themselves. But the whole message this afternoon, and I'm going to quit, is this. Let us be careful when we go into battle against certain things if we don't have our own ministry cleaned up, all right? If we're not thinking real sharp in your own life and your own personal life, when you have an obstacle coming up, trust God and love Him. Put it in. Do your best. And then put it in His hands. Walk with Him. Talk to Him. I can hear how some people outside of this building now would say, talk to God? Are you crazy? What are you talking about? Talk to God. God gets lonely because of people like that. You know what? He hears you. He loves you. Communicate with Him. He's your husband. Let Him know what you've been doing. And hey, well, I don't want to tell Him what I've been doing. He knows. All right? He already knows. So be free with Him. Have a very close, meaningful relationship with Him. If there's any one thing that I don't like to use this word, but I will, I strive for in this ministry, is to change the way people look at our Father. Alright? To let them know He loves them and that He's kind of like we are and He's got feelings and you can hurt Him. You can hurt His feelings. And to give you a closer, more loving walk with Him. I strive for that. And so it doesn't hurt to talk to Him and communicate with Him as we move forward. Repent occasionally. When you know that, well, if I've been lazy lately, repent of it. It does you good. Don't just sin to repent for sinning and so forth. And we all do sin. You know something? He knows we sin, and He knows we're going to sin. That's why. He knows we sin, and he knows we're going to sin. That's why he paid the price on the cross. That's no excuse to sin. But we're in the flesh. Old Paul even said, as long as I... Now, the reason I'm saying this now, I don't want all of you to go home, I've got a guilt trip. Oh, Lord, I broke my neighbor's barbed wire the other day. And just didn't pray about it or fix it or anything. I just drove off, you know. Well, you know, repent of it, all right, and fix the old boy's fence, you know, or whatever. You know, just talk to God and keep a working relationship with him, a living relationship. And you know what? When you ask for something and when you step out to do battle, he's going with you. And you're going to win. Do you know something? That's why we win. That's why this ministry is the fastest growing ministry probably in the world at this time, as far as teaching ministries go. I'm not bragging. I'm just proud of my father because he's the one that's doing it. But in your home lives, bless your hearts, I know some of you are in divorces. I know some of you have been divorced. I know you're having family trouble. No matter. Don't let that interfere with your relationship with him. He'll straighten it out for you. I know there are some in this building that have had tragedy this past year. I've gone through it with you. And God only knows we got the victory. We're winners, all right? Why? We love our Father and we talk to him. We communicate with him. And we're not one of these groups that, oh dear, here we are at this holy Passover. Holy, holy Passover. You brethren, and I'd have to have on white. I used to wear a white suit, but I finally kind of quit, you know. Be sure and don't let any of the local community, if they're not saved, come in, okay? You know, they're not pure. You know, and we are just so sanctimonious that we squeak, you know, when we move. Right. Now, you know there are people like that. Don't be like that. God sent us to this world because it's sick. And we call spades spades. But let's be men and women enough to fess up to our own shortcomings to him, not each other. Lord God, don't tell Sam Blow that you slipped and bet $2 on old Nag that lost everything. You know, it's none of his business, all right? Just repent of it and go on, all right? Because you're in the flesh and we're going to have those troubles. And again, the reason I'm doing this, I don't want anybody on a guilt trip. I want you right with him. Right in such a way that it would be like in your own family. Can't you talk to your husband and wife, or if you're not married, your brothers and sisters, your closest friend, and be honest with them and say, boy, look what happened to me. And I say, well, hey, let's figure out something and fix it. I want you to look at him that way. And you know something? He'll fix it. But don't get yourself all blowed out of shape like a blimp because somebody's going to stick a hole in it and you're going to go off like this, all right? Get down on the ground. Keep your feet on the ground is what I'm saying. Communicate with our Father and be a useful servant. He'll love you for it. You know something? I sure love you for it. And I'm going to keep on loving you for it. I guarantee you. And we're going to keep on plowing. So, that's it. That's it. Okay? And just remember, we're going against the enemy now. And our camp is going to...